Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
So, here we are on the Say What Show that, well, it's been a crazy day. Jan Shaw is with me with Dolly Howard. This is the Say What Show. I'm Nancy Hopkins. It is April 4th, 2020. Jan just did a show of hers that took the first hour of what is normally this show, 2 hours. But, wow, it was all you went through, Jan. I'm so appreciative of you, and it was well worth it. That was an excellent show. Are you there?
Well, thank you. I was saying to Dolly, God, it was a...
Say what?
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
I was saying it was such a struggle to get the show put together and up to you. Unbelievable, but thankfully I managed it in the end.
She lags a little, Nancy.
What do you mean?
Her connection.
Okay.
It takes a few seconds for her to hear us.
Okay, understood.
Okay.
We'll take it easy on her.
Okay.
Okay, but let me jump in here because... oddly enough, I came across some articles, not knowing what you were doing, but articles that absolutely give you some more concrete evidence as to what you were saying. So want me to just jump in there and I'm just going to jump in there and do it so I can, because otherwise I'm going to forget. Okay, let's see. Okay. All right, now this is something that came out on June 24th, oh, my birthday, 2018, and it's by themilitary.com. Okay, so this is pretty official. U.S. Army leaders say the next war will be fought in megacities, but the services has embarked on an ambitious effort to prepare most of its combat brigades to fight not inside, but beneath them. Last year, the Army launched an accelerated effort that funnels some $572 million into training and equipping 26 of its 31 active combat brigades to fight in large-scale subterranean facilities that exist beneath dense urban areas around the world. For this new type of warfare, infantry units will need to know how to effectively navigate, communicate, breach heavy obstacles, and attack enemy forces in underground mazes ranging from confined corridors to tunnels as wide as residential streets. Soldiers will need new equipment and training to operate in such conditions as complete darkness, bad air, lack of cover from enemy fire, and areas that challenge standard Army communications equipment. Senior leaders have mentioned small parts of the effort in public speeches, but Army officials at Fort Benning, Georgia's Maneuver Center of Excellence, the organization leading the subterranean effort, have been reluctant to discuss the scale of the endeavor. We did recognize in a megacity that has underground facilities, sewers and subways and some of the things we would encounter, we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, how does our current set of equipment and our tactics stack up? Colonel Townley Hedrick, commandant of the infantry school at the Army Maneuver Center of Excellency at Fort Benning, Georgia, told Military.com in an interview. What are the aspects of megacities that we have paid the least attention to lately? And every megacity has got sewers and subways and stuff that you can encounter, so let's brush it up a little bit. Left unmentioned were the recent studies the Army has undertaken to shore up this effort. The Army completed a 4-month review last year of its outdated approach to underground combat and published a new training manual dedicated to this environment. This training circular is published to provide urgently needed guidance to plan and execute training for units operating in subterranean environments. Though prepared through an urgent development process, it is authorized for immediate implementation. Seems like they were in a bit of a hurry here. The Army has always been aware that it might have to clear and secure underground facilities. Before the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the mission for taking large underground military complexes was given. And this goes on for quite a bit, but what it is, wow, it really goes on for quite a bit. So we're going to stop reading it there. It'll be, I'll give you the link in the, in below. But isn't that interesting? Let me make sure I haven't got you guys muted.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please.
I was going to say, I also saw an ad, going back quite a number of months for, underground tunnels to do training in. I don't know if you saw that as well.
I did, yeah. But I saw what Nancy saw and what you saw.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So, okay, so that was the first one because you know, people probably thought you were kind of a wacko there talking about cities under... underground fighting under a city, but they've been planning for it in a hurry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to say about that?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
In one of the videos, they were showing smoke coming up from the under the ground through the. What do you call those things they put in the streets leading down to the pipes?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of it either. The hole in the ground that's got the cover.
Yeah, that. And I thought, wow, and nobody said anything about that, like on the news or anything.
We call them manhole covers.
There you go.
Yes,
that's it, yes.
Is that what they call them in Britain, too?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you another one here because this one is... okay, now, I could argue this as an intelligence officer. I could argue this a couple of ways because this is pretty unprecedented. Because if you think of the scale of what's happening here... You have military forces who are going to be conducting active engagement against military forces. This is a civil war. Now, who's got the numbers? Who would know? I don't know that even they would know. But in any given war, let's say any given kind of environment like that, your main target is the command and control. You want to be able to take over the command and the control. Because if you do that, well, now you've got command of all your troops. So this, as an intelligence officer, just jumped off the page at me. It was like, oh my God. Because, I mean, as an intelligence officer, this is the keystone to saying, oh, this is happening, all right? Now, the date on this is April 4th, and today's date is April 4th, okay? So, pretty, okay. U.S. military command teams in charge of protecting homeland security are being isolated in the infamous China Mountain Bunker, where they will remain sealed off until the coronavirus pandemic passes. Military teams that monitor foreign missile and warplane threats to the United States are isolated at a number of military sites, including Cheyenne Mountain. The Cold War-era bunker is located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The command took such steps to ensure personnel can monitor the COVID-19 pandemic around the clock as the disease spreads around the world. The military are not immune from the disease, and such is the nervousness those working at the bunker have prepared to seal themselves off for months. Should the staff working at the bunker become ill, there is a third team of high-ranking military officials working another secret location. The Navy revealed they saw several cases appear among their part of the U.S. Army's Northern Command, in charge of Homeland Security, is isolating at the Cheyenne Mountain Bunker in Colorado. The bunker is a command and control site which was built inside the mountain located near Colorado Springs. To ensure that we can defend the homeland despite this pandemic, our command and control watch teams here in the headquarters split into multiple shifts, and portions of our watch team began working from Cheyenne Mountain Air Force Station, creating a third team at an alternate location as well. Okay, our dedicated professionals, blah, blah, blah. And so what they've done here, let me get down here, past this large door, blah, 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 blah. Okay, they're saying that they're doing this because they're trying to protect the headquarters against the virus. My thinking is that this is a group of very, very dedicated soldiers, I hope white hats, that are there to make sure that nobody pushes the nuclear button. That's what I think. So, to me, this was another indication that, you know, no, this is all really happening. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that add up to this. You know, when you start to join the dots, you see all the interconnections coming together.
Okay, here's another one, and this is on the Pope, because we talk about the fact that, you know, this is a worldwide event, and that the power points are the United States, and then you've got London. United States is your military, London is your finance, and what the heck is the Pope's about? I think they're the ultimate... controllers. I don't remember. Okay, now this is
isn't that the spiritual side?
Is that what they're calling it? Oh my God!
I think so.
Did you say what is the Sorry.
Well, you got the it's London, United States, and the Vatican as the controlling elements here. And the U.S.
Well, did you see that latest thing about the Pope?
That's what I'm about to read now.
Oh, I'm going to shut up.
Okay. Now, this one is about the Pope, because, you know, we're saying, okay, the United States military is working to, you know, first off, get the kids out of danger. And then, you know, the... Jan has talked about it, you know, but it does appear that the federal government has taken over the Federal Reserve. So there's your finance arm being taken out. But this is a little complicated. Okay, now this again is brand new. I mean, today, April 4th, okay? And some Archbishop, Carlo Maria Vigano, has called the dropping of Pope Francis's essential title, Vicar of Christ, from the 2020 Pontifical Yearbook, an act that appears to officially alter the papacy, such that the Pope no longer recognizes himself as guardian. Okay. What's happened here is, I don't want to get into all of the background to it. In a surprise move, okay, the Pope on April 2nd, 2 days ago, dropped that title of Vicar of Christ from the 2020 Pontifical Yearbook. Okay, now, there, what it is is that, okay, while previous yearbooks listed the title Vicar of Christ and the name of the reigning pope under the title, this year's annual directory simply lists the name of Maria Bergoglio, the name of the man who became Pope Francis in 2013. The title Vicar of Jesus Christ stems from the Holy Scripture, where Jesus granted Saint Peter the power of the keys of the church. So, by him, I mean this: the guy that went after him is calling him a tyrant. You know, he says that the Pope Francis now views himself as becoming master of the church, free of the free to demolish it from within without having to answer to anyone. In short, a tyrant, he said. So, and again, the link will be down below. So again, another, what? What's this about? Have you heard anything about that at all, Jan? I know Dolly has, because I sent her this link.
Oh, I knew I got it from someone. Thank you.
It was me. I'm going to stick these in.
No, I haven't actually, but... But one of the things that has come out recently is the arrest of 600, I think, cardinals or whatever in the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican. And so it seems like, you know, this operation to take out these satanic pedophiles is happening all over the world. And we know that the Catholic Church has been, you know, so involved in pedophilia, you know, all the priests and everything else. So that to me is a sign that this is happening, and it's a good sign.
Well, yeah, but I really was shocked. I don't know why I was shocked. About the Pope putting himself in Christ's position now. He really is not in touch with the world. Somebody's going to take that dude out sooner or later, and I think sooner is better. I had heard at one point there were two Catholic religions. There's the Satanic group that meets underground, and then there's, and they have meetings underground, but they're also above the ground, like the Pope, the Popey guy that just did that thing today. And there are the good Christian sect. There is the good Christian sect. So, I'm wondering, is the good Christian sect going to overpower the Satanistic one? I would think that there's going to be, if there isn't already going on, a spiritual war between the good and evil in the Catholic popery stuff.
Well, I'm sure there is, because... You know, this whole thing is a spiritual war, isn't it? You know, so many of these satanic individuals are being exposed now. I mentioned in last week's show about all these weird posts on Twitter by these, you know, Hollywood elites and media elites and so on that are passing these coded messages to each other, indicating that they know they're being taken down. And it really is a recognition of the satanic nature of what has been controlling the world for so many years. And, you know, Trump's approach to all of this is very much to bring God back into the administration, the whole approach of the US. And because he recognizes that we have got this faction, this controlling deep state, that are basically all satanic.
Well, you know that.
I think,
go ahead, Dolly.
I think that's why he wanted so much to get it all done by Good Friday. And he was saying that he really wants people to be able to go into their churches and worship the way they do. Plus, it'll be even more exciting than what they usually do. I'm done.
I think he's still trying to make that time frame, regardless of this additional add-on.
I do too.
Yeah. What was Jan talking about?
I mean, the issue, though, is that the church has been corrupted by the Satanists.
Yes,
When you look at the rituals that happen, you know, even the communion ritual, consuming the body and blood of Christ, is that not representative of what these Satanists have been doing? And of course, there's so much control and fear in the dogma of the church that this whole religious approach needs to be turned on its head, because it has been corrupted. We know that the Bible was edited, for want of a better word, to change the original message. And although there's still a lot in there that is representative of the message of Jesus and like, you know, it's very much been, well, you can't connect with God directly, you have to do it through us, etc., etc. It's basically been about power and control. So hopefully, you know, this is also going to shift that approach, that dogma in the churches.
Well, what I wanted to say was, we've got a situation where, let's assume that the guy that said that he can do anything internally to the church now, because he's not, you know, his read on it was correct. The guy writing it sounds a little frantic, okay? Now, when they get frantic like that, I kind of like, why are you getting so nervous? We're talking about this now. Well, why are you, you know, like this? And it could be because he's so afraid that what the Pope's going to bring in the evil side? You know, that the Pope is, you know, on the dark side and going to bring in evil? Or is he an evil person thinking, oh my God, this Pope has got us pegged and he's going to make the changes that are going to root out all this bad stuff?
I think it was the first one you said, because did you see the picture of the Pope? His eyes, it's his eyes, are black. I'm telling you, he's the bad.
Oh, yeah.
I've been saying this for quite a few years now. The Popey is not nice.
Okay.
But that's because I look
at
the
eyes. No, some of the pictures. Some of the pictures of him look really evil, I have
yes.
to say.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it now, and I absolutely see what you see. This is not the guy that I thought I was seeing at all.
Oh,
wow. Guys, I put that, the first link I put in the last three, it's that click on that, and you'll see this awful.
It is awful. It is frickin' pure evil.
Oy, I can't get that
in my opinion.
Oh, I had to get that off of my, oh, jeez. That was
they've
intense.
Got black eyes.
And
yeah.
the scowl. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm on your side, Dolly.
And see, that's how I have seen the Queen all these years. even since I was a kid.
Well, of course, the Queen was involved in the execution of Diana.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Diana was about to reveal everything that she's seen. And, you know, there are reports that she had actually been initiated into the royal family through a satanic ritual. And, you know, when you look at some of the analysis of the place where she died, there are so many symbolic aspects to this that relate to the satanic rituals. I mean, you know, you originally said, Nancy, that you're going to talk about whether JFK Jr. was alive. There are people that believe that Diana is also alive still. And that somehow
love that.
She was. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I don't remember exactly when JFK died. You know, people say, oh, I remember exactly where I was. Obviously, I was very young then and in the UK. But I remember so clearly the day that Diana died and where I was. Oh, and I got the tingles. You know, it was such a monumental occasion. And when you look at how the Queen and the royal family reacted to it, it was so cold, you know, totally emotionless, that actually turned a lot of people against the royal family in the UK because of it.
You know, some of the things we're talking about, I've been openly saying that I've been deleting posts on Cosmic Reality Facebook group because some of it was the presentation of what the dark side wanted to do, and I really wanted to limit the people thinking that putting their energy into that storyline. But the other thing that started cropping up was the connection to the adrenal chrome and the takeover of the elite and the power elite with this drug, and the awfulness of what that drug is. I mean, it's just and it's all over the place. It's almost like the dam has broke. And I wanted to limit it because I knew they were going to have to face it, but I didn't want to be the source of them doing that, you know, because it's just such a very, very hard thing to understand. But it's almost like all bets are off and everybody is talking in terms of a spiritual battle. You know, unfortunately, you're going to understand what evil is. Because when you understand why are there thousands and thousands of children, what is it, hundred thousand kids missing in a, you know, in a year, is it? But I think it's worldwide. I hope it's not just the United States.
800,000.
And that's just what's reported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind how many kids got sold.
I'm saying that a lot of these kids, you know, it's a bit like the John of God thing that got revealed, and this concept of breeding to create babies that have no birth certificate, they're untraceable. So the extent of this could be far more than what we even know, that they're breeding these babies for these sacrifices and rituals and so on. Yeah, it's absolutely horrific. But on the other hand, you know, a friend of mine said to me, and she was actually in the chat room earlier, how do I practice neutrality when I see all of this? And I said to her, it's not about being neutral, you know, not having any kind of emotion related to this, but it's about focusing on the fact that this is now being taken down. This is being revealed. And, you know, the neutrality thing is you can choose whether to get, you know, immersed in the negativity of it, which it is so dark, you know, it can be very easy to do that. But that is then focusing on the problem. What I'm focusing on is, wow, this is now coming to light. Things are actually happening to save these children. This is what is so positive about this. And it's what we've been seeing for many months in terms of the steps that Trump and the White Hats are taking to actually destroy this satanic rule of this planet. And if we focus on that, we're focusing on the outcome that we want from this. And it's only when things are revealed that they can actually be dealt with. It's been hidden for millennia. It's been going on for millennia. And now we're seeing it come to the surface. And God, is it painful to see this? But we're now seeing action being taken to free these kids, free these children and the adults as well that have been, you know, part of this whole process of breeding children for these satanic purposes.
Well, you
know, kids are going to need a lot of help.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, the society's going to need a lot of help.
Yes, yes.
You know, it is definitely a battle between good and evil. And when you look at what we're saying and you go, oh my God, this is awful. But then you stay with us and you just listen to what we're finding out and you're going to realize that this has been known for a very, very long time. Now, suppose you were John Kennedy Jr. and you knew about the deep, dark evil that permeates this entire society, this entire, you know, structure of the elite. I mean, us guys on the street, well, we got to worry about heroin and cocaine. Man, they got a drug that makes you younger. You know, you can live forever as long as you keep getting your dose. So if that's insane, then let's just take it another step. What if you were JFK Jr. and you realized, because you visited the, you know, the power herself, Hillary Clinton, and she tells you something that shakes you to the core so bad that people that saw John leave that meeting with Hillary, you know, commented on the fact that he looked like he was shook to the core. And let's just assume that John Kennedy's best friend was Donald Trump, a man with a tremendous amount of power as a young man because he came from a powerful family. What if you decided that the only way you were going to beat something like this is to fake your own death and to go underground and to organize at all levels what it would take to take back the Republic, because the Republic is no longer active. It's been taken over by this octopus of a corporation, owned and operated by the cabal, the Illuminati, the dark side, people who take this friggin' drug. You know? Okay, so let's just assume that. So then you get Q comes into the question, into the story. And Q is a master of gamemanship to the point that they know what they have to do. They know that they have to get a large group of people out there that understand what they're doing, so that when it starts to happen, that those people that understand the plan will put their energy into the plan and be able to focus on details as they are happening. And this takes strategic planning. It would take somebody who virtually could see the future to know this is exactly what needs to happen. Now, we know that they have access to being able to see into the future. You know, the Philadelphia experiment. You know, you've heard about it, Montauk. You know, I mean, they have this ability. So I'm not going to discount it. But I'll tell you, when Q, back in 2018, is counting down details of what's happening now and then leading people from the right now back to those posts. You got to figure that there is some massive planning operation that is behind this. So it was the Q people who I think are getting, you know, a little extra information on the side. Maybe not all of them. Maybe they don't realize that they're, you know, they're basically being played. Or maybe it is operatives. I don't know. But the some of the people that are looking into the Q stuff, it's like, why did you go back that far? You know, I mean, it's like they really have a guidance of some sort, even if it's their intuition and spirituality. Those people are the ones that I look at, because I don't have time to go through this massive, massive puzzle. Very few of us do. So Red Pill 78 and 22X Report, I recommend those two. There's others out there, but those two seem to be pretty accurate. But what I want to do right now is to go back into time to when we began to believe that John Kennedy, in fact, did fake his own death, Jr., and that we were led to that concept by Q. Q would drop these posts, and they wouldn't make any sense to me, but they would all of a sudden get one of the Q people to go, wow, look at this. Okay, now what I'm going to post right now in the chat, and is probably, I hope it's up on the YouTube, if that's what you're looking at, or in the promo thing, and you're going to see that there is just a whole collage there of different people. Now on the top, you see the president is speaking, and he's got two people behind him that have circles around them. If you go to the right, you're going to see those people are again in the audience and circled. The third one that circled is actually who we believe is Lauren Bessette, who was Caroline Bessette's sister. And she was, Caroline is John's wife. All three of them were supposed to have died in a plane crash in 1999, July. All right, so that was what was pointed out to us, was the first episode, which the president's in the picture, and you got these two people behind him. Now that particular rally was in Philadelphia, and if you go to the far right, you're going to see that at one point during that telecast, and I watched the whole thing to find this picture, the president turned around and looked directly at him. Now, what you don't see is that when he turned back towards the camera, he had the biggest grin on his face. And that was a real telltale sign to me, no, this is all happening. And as we began to get more people interested, and, I mean, there are videos that show, you know, John Kennedy Jr.'s face, you know, merging into this other face of this guy that looks like a scuff bag and seems to have always the same hat on. He's always dressed the same way. Okay, now if you go down a little bit, you're going to see Caroline Kennedy. And this is the woman in the hat, okay? And if you look at those teeth, I've blown this up. I don't know if this is my picture out there, but I actually did this picture because I did such a comparison. I had these teeth blown up, and this is the same teeth. You know, I mean, this is the same woman, the nose, everything. All right, so you got somebody that sure looks like her. Then you take and you realize that the person off to the right, and in the Philadelphia, she was way, I mean, she was like five people away, but she was also in that same group, is, you know, somebody that looks amazingly like Lauren Bessette, John's sister-in-law, you know, aged here. But the real character was Vincent Fuchsia, because we know what this guy's name is. They follow him around. They know who he is. And he just keeps playing this role. And when you look at his body, like the one that you see John Jr. and Vincent together in that picture, I blew up their hands. And I'm telling you, those hands were the same. That was what really sold me on everything. And then somebody, you know, they kept comparing John Jr. to to Vincent, and then somebody compared John Vincent to JFK himself, and those two faces were like, whoa, there's definitely a relationship. And then on top of that, we find out that President Trump, every day when he starts the business in the Oval Office, makes a prayer in dedication to President Kennedy. And this thing that you continually hear with where goes one, go we all, is what was stamped into the bell that was on the yacht that John Kennedy used to sail around in. So there's just too much proof that this has really happened, that John Jr. is still alive. But the name, Vincent Fuchsia. Vincent means to conquer, and fuchsia is the dark. To conquer the dark. So I just wanted to bring those people who may not know why I find this such compelling evidence. There you have it. You guys want to say anything? Hello?
Well, everything Nancy said is, I've been along with her on that road. I agree with everything she said. I'm excited.
I was just looking up Fuchsia, which is Vincent Fuchsia. The surname Fuchsia came from the personal name Fosco, which derives from the Latin word fuscus, meaning dark.
Everything they do has meaning.
Absolutely.
Everything they say and do, yes.
There was a reference as well to something Trump tweeted, where he misspelt darkness as darnkes, darnkess. And one of the Anons linked this to a book, I think it was a book or a movie, that was 3 days of darnkes, and it was about rescuing children from underground bases. And, you know, this is the thing. People look at Trump's tweets and they think that he's ignorant and he's misspelling everything, but everything is done so deliberately in code for people to then decipher. It's incredibly clever the way this communication is put out there.
That reminds me, I saw him recently getting on an airplane, well, his airplane, the presidential airplane. He was walking up to the ramp with one of the military peoples, and the military person was talking to him, but he kept looking up off to his right. And I thought, what is he looking for? And then, as he parted from the military man, I saw him pat his leg with his arm down, and how you can just tap your leg. He did this 3 or 4 times, I can't remember for sure. And then he had a pause, and he did it one more time. I knew that was a symbol, or yes, he was talking to somebody. And once he did that, I saw that he saw who he was talking to or giving a signal to, and he looked more relieved as he finished going up the steps and into the door. And so if you watch things, you can pick up sometimes the different things that are really happening or being said. I'm done.
What really got to me was when the president, you know, said that this next 2 weeks is going to be just horrific for the American people. And you know the word horrific, and I believe you used that, at least that's what I heard in my head.
That
word in and of itself would not connote to me even 200,000 dead people, because that's what they've projected out there is going to happen. That's going to be horrific? Or is the understanding of what's happened to the children going to be so mind-bending, you know, that to me is going to be horrific for all those Americans, all those human beings all over the world who had no idea that anybody was capable of such things.
I think it's going to be a combination of all that. The waking up of people, the realizing how bad the children were treated. And they were bred for that purpose. And I believe it was everything you said that it's going to make it so horrific.
Yeah, and it was, I don't know if it was a Q post, but somewhere I saw what is going to bring the people together, the children. And you mentioned, Nancy, when we talked earlier, when I was trying to overcome all these technical difficulties, that you just had in your head for a couple of days, the children, which, knowing you, suggests to me that this is actually really happening.
Yeah, I on Thursday I started getting, anytime I, you know, paused my thinking, you know, your head goes a little empty, I'd hear the children. And it wasn't only just hearing it, I would see the words, the children. And sometimes it was just children, but, you know, I've hundreds of times now. Because it hasn't stopped. So.
And it's not just children.
No, it's not. But they're children. They're all children of God.
Yes.
So I guess what we're going to say here is that this is a spiritual battle. The reason that you people in chat may not understand why we're saying victory, I suggest you at least listen to the first, you know, 45 minutes, half an hour of this Shungite show that's going to be coming up next. Because I think you will understand why we keep saying victory. And it basically, for those people that won't have the chance, when we had Barbara Menezes on, the one that actually did that recording that I played, you know, between the two shows here, she talks to Shungite, and we've had her on 5 times last year, and then she's coming on again this Tuesday. She really does connect to Shungite. And the message that she gave us is that, yes, there are two essential stories, one doom and gloom and one, you know, cue in the plan and all the nice things that we think can happen if we can just, you know, get through these next few weeks. And that's the victorious path. But to get there, and to get there quicker, to get there with as little drama as possible, the energetic word given by Shungite is victory. And it's victory that's imbued, when you think of it, when you feel it leaving you, think of the blue light that exploded over Shungite, that luminescent electric kind of blue. That's what victory, if you just add that color to it, that's the focus point, the energy point that we're going for. So that's why we keep repeating the word victory. And it's just one of those simple little techniques to be able to focus a tremendous amount of energy on, victory. But put that blue around it. And interestingly enough, that blue, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but these celebrities that are all in self-quarantine or under quarantine or whatever they are, their Twitter accounts, which I don't look at, and I think this came from X22, but this last few days, they all went to a blue instead of having a picture up there or whatever it is, they all went to blue. See, you know, and it's like,
oh. I don't understand. Rather than a picture, there's a blue. Okay. What do you mean?
Okay, like on my Facebook, it would be like instead of having my Facebook picture of the American flag, it went all blue. It was just a blue. That's all, just blue. Color
so
blue.
So how do you know who it is the picture is of?
Well, because they put the picture on top of that. I mean, the person, those are two separate pictures.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the banner at the top.
The banner, thank you.
Yeah, actually, too, analyzing all the different people that whose top banner had disappeared, and it was replaced with just a color. And there were different colors. There was red, there was gray, there was blue. And he also referenced General Flynn's banner, which he seems to change at key points, and it changed to what people initially thought was a wolf versus an eagle, but it was actually a coyote versus an eagle. And of course we talk about the, you know, the child traffickers and the drug cartels being coyotes, and that the coyotes were going to be basically destroyed by the eagle, and it was the bald eagle of the American flag.
Well, actually, they corrected that, or let me say, added to that. The coyote, when you talk coyote, you're talking about the people that take people that want to be immigrants into the United States across illegally. So, in that, I believe, Dolly, wasn't that what they were going after when you said it started? When you talked about the Mexican cartels and the immigration coyote trafficking versus, you know, kidnapping and that sort of thing, which...
Yeah, they were after the drug cartels.
Right.
Down in Venezuela and Mexico and in that area.
Right.
Did you see the map that they showed?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's definitely a planned activity with all the military involved, and the thing I got from Trump is they're getting every one of them. I was thinking, well, if anybody escapes, I hope it's just the little dudes who are growing it. But he definitely was serious when he was talking about it. Was during one of the daily
press briefings.
Updates, yeah. So, yeah, they started down there as far as I know, but yet I was thinking they had to have started with the kids. Well, maybe they started at the same time, but it kind of was close to being simultaneous. And they're saving, as far as I understand from what all I've been researching, they're going to do the naughty people last, the evil people last.
So they're chopping up the tail and they're just going towards the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we're 4 minutes over. You guys got more to say, or do you want to end it, or how you feeling?
Well, I want to give a shout out to our Walmart delivery man, Ken. He came and he was all excited about 5G. So of course, Annette started telling him about where to find you, 5G show and stuff. And we were telling him about the chat room. And so, if you're out there, thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoyed it and come back. And we really were thankful for you delivering us our Walmart order. And thanks for everyone else being here and listening, the listeners who listen. And of course, you know that Send out love blankets. Love blankets are desperately needed. Look at the kids that need them. Look at the people who are witnessing this. And for the first time that this is being brought to their attentions, we need lots of love blankets out there. And don't forget yourself. And from Dolly World, I say bye-bye. Thanks, Nancy and Jan.
Jan.
Yeah, I'd just like to say it's really encouraging, as I said in the show, that we're seeing so many people awaken to this. And it's been interesting. I've had conversations here in the RV park with people who seem to be aware of this and becoming more aware. And I've referred them to Shungite and to the show. And I really believe this is the Great Awakening, and it is going to be very challenging for a lot of people who have been brainwashed by the mainstream media. But this has to come out, and I believe it is coming out now. And I'm so grateful for all of this and to be part of this and to be making my little contribution to it. And, you know, again, like Dolly, I send love to everybody, and we're going to need to support a lot of the people to whom this is going to be a huge shock. So we need to support them and really be there for people who have never imagined this could be what has been going on for so long. So, you know, we're here for you if you're listening.
Yes, and you can get the archives by going to cosmicreality.com and just look up the archives. And you can go to YouTube, Cosmic Reality, the YouTube station, and you can, you know, go to playlists and see different shows, or you can just go with what's new because we put them up. Well, I try to be efficient. Be safe, everybody out there. We do appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.